When all else fails, read the instructions. This is a fairly common truism. Society would have us to believe that men especially have a propensity toward this behavior. We receive a piece of furniture or a bicycle or, well, whatever, and the typical man will try to put the thing together without reading the instructions. It's a manly thing to do. We want to conquer our surroundings by our own volition to show what? That we can overcome the dreaded bicycle on our own? Really? There may be a bit of pride or problem with pride in that whole scenario. We want to conquer whatever obstacle we face to show how good we are. Maybe a little bit. It all has to do with personal accomplishment. When it comes to getting along in this world, we have been provided with a set of instructions, the Torah. And for whatever reason, we wind up rationalizing those things that we choose to do that are in opposition to Torah. We would like everyone to believe that we have a better way to live this life than the way we are given in Torah. Oh, I know, we've read Torah and we know that, you know, what it says, but the way we see it is always more appropriate for our modern circumstances. When in reality, it's more in keeping with our goals and ambitions than the directions of Yahweh. But do we have a better way? We are allowed to make choices, and we regularly do. These choices sometimes are not in keeping with the instructions contained in Torah. Does that make them better than Torah or just different? I don't believe that our choices, you know, those that are different, those choices that differ from the guidelines in Torah, are better. We just feel better about them because they provide some kind of comfort to us. When it comes to ignoring the sound advice of Torah in favor of our own initiative, well, we're only fooling ourselves. When something is important in Scripture, it is most generally repeated so that we get it, so that we understand, so that we know that it's important. Our instruction set is found throughout Scripture, but it is summarized in two places, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. In these two places, the guidelines are presented in such a way as to show us that the instructions have the full authority of Yahweh and Yahshua. Let's take a look at these passages of Scripture. In Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. Then Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other Elohim before me. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, it says, Then Moshe summoned all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking to you today in your hearing. that you may learn them and observe them carefully. Yahweh our Elohim has made a covenant with us at Horeb. Yahweh did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. Yahweh spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire, while I was standing between Yahweh and you at the time, to declare to you the word of Yahweh. For you were afraid because of the fire, and did not go up the mountain, he said. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other Elohim before me. In both accounts, we're told who it is that's speaking. In Exodus, a short version. In Deuteronomy, we see a much more detailed account of who is doing the talking. In both cases, the intended audience is Israel, Yahweh's people, the recipient of the inheritance, the covenant people. The Creator says, now that I have your attention, listen to me. I am your Elohim. You will not have any other Elohim before me. He said, I am your Creator, and I don't want you to be looking for another mighty one, because there isn't a mightier one. He wants to make sure that he has our full attention, so that we can pay attention to him and maybe learn how we are going to successfully navigate this world to completion. Yahweh knows how important it is to follow instructions, and his instructions are to be followed precisely. There are those that will try to divert our attention. They will attempt to guide us in a direction that will lead to a less than successful end. If we are allowed to be distracted, we will not overcome. We will be lost. Yahweh knows how easily we are distracted. He wants us to pay attention. So before we move on with more instructions, he really wants us to know who it is that's talking to us. Then we move on to another instructive bit of information in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments and follow the instructions. Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10 says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. It was good enough to say exactly twice the same way. The point is, the Creator now has your attention. And He's telling you who He is and the relationship He has with you. He's your Creator. Do not make an idol and worship it. He's pretty insistent about that. But what does that mean? Well, it's easy to think about the meaning in terms of idols of stone or wood or metal, and that have been crafted to portray an image that one would suppose to worship. Something to offer sacrifices to in order to gain favor, or to keep the wrath of the idol from affecting your life. Maybe to offer up for a good crop. The point is that Yahweh does not want us to be distracted by anything. Another Elohim, an idol, a picture of some holy person, a favorite sports car, a local college or professional sports team, our political party, our anything. If we can conjure up something that occupies our mind and attention to the exclusion, or at least to the very distraction from Yahweh, then we have established an idol. We have, at that point, put something, someone, an idea, whatever, in between us and the Heavenly Father. Yahweh wants us whole, no distractions. And He sent Yahshua to show us how to do that. How to live a life without worldly distractions, idols, so that we can learn to know the Father and learn to live the life that He would have us to live. We're starting to get an instruction set for a successful life. The Creator has a name, and He wants us to address Him with that name, Yahweh. But we're warned to be careful. Don't use His name in an undignified manner. That's important because the world around us will know who we are talking about and will realize how much we esteem Him based on our lifestyle and our association with His name. Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." And Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Again, repetition. It's important enough. We should pay attention to the name. We're told not to use His name in vain. What's that mean? What? Vain means, and I looked this up in the dictionary, it says there are a couple of popular definitions for vain. One, having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. Or number two, producing no result or useless. Maybe we need to look at the Hebrew to see what we're talking about here. The word used in both places is Strong's word number 7723, shav. The word has several meanings, some of which are emptiness, deceit, false, lies, worthlessness. The meaning of this word is apparently related to misleading motives. Seems as though we might be violating this commandment if we tell people that we were followers of Yahweh and we really didn't mean it. If one were to defame the Creator by using his name inappropriately, that would bring him to ruin. I think it's probably something similar to slander in our culture. By implying an association with someone and performing acts that that person would never do, this would defame their character and could well bring that person to ruin. Shabbat. We've learned about who is teaching us not to put other Elohim before him, not to misrepresent his character and name, and now it's time to rest. Shabbat. Let's see what the book has to say about Shabbat. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day, Yom Shabbat, to keep it holy, Kadosh. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed Yom Shabbat and made it Kadosh. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe Yom Shabbat to keep it Kadosh, as Yahweh your Elohim commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Mitzrayim, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to observe Shabbat. The majority of churchianity has chosen to observe this time, to keep this commandment, this commanded appointment, on the first day of the week, rather than the seventh day of the week. In the Exodus account of this lesson, we are told to remember. I suppose that's because we, mankind, has a general problem with memory. We tend to forget things. We sometimes lose our way. And when another explanation makes sense to us, We simply adjust our thinking and we go on about our business. But when we're told, when we're here, we're told to remember. And in the Deuteronomy account, we're told to observe. That sounds to me as if we're supposed to pay attention. Some might say this is an arbitrary arrangement anyway, so that we can do whatever we want. We can set aside any day of the week or no day at all, as long as we have the knowledge of the Creator in our heart. Now, this isn't arbitrary at all. We're told that this set-apart day is a memorial to creation. It's at the end of creation week. It signifies the authority of the Creator. We're also told that we were commanded to do this when we were brought out of Mitzrayim, Israel, or Egypt, sin. This set-apart day is a sign of the covenant between Yahweh and his people. Let's look quickly at Exodus 31, 16 and 17. It says, "So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." Ezekiel 20, verse 12. "Also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies them." Ezekiel 20:20. "Sanctify my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim." Exodus 31:13. "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." So we've learned about who is teaching us not to put other Elohim before him, not to misrepresent his name and character, and that observing Yom Shabbat is a special set-aside time. We have a whole lot of learning left to do. The Ten Commandments are a summary of our guidelines. They give us a quick reference, if you will, so that we can remain on the narrow road. Our goal here is to establish and build a relationship with Yahweh by way of Yahshua. We have been told the way. We have been shown the way. Our successful relationship with Yahweh is also dependent on our relationship with each other. In 1 John 4, 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from Elohim. And everyone who loves is born of Elohim and knows Elohim." And in 1 John 4, 20 and 21, it says, "If someone says, I love him, if someone says, I love Elohim, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love Elohim, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves Elohim should love his brother also. It's essential that we learn to get along with each other in order to be able to understand the relationship that we are to develop with Yahweh. Yahweh is other-centered. That is, he is more concerned about the welfare of others than his own well-being. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 19 says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of Yahweh, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to Elohim, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for Elohim. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Messiah controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from Elohim, who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that Elohim was in Messiah reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed us to the word of reconciliation." And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." We are told to love Yahweh and love each other. The Ten Commandments gives us a summary guide on how to do that. The first four commands are aimed at establishing our relationship with Yahweh through Yeshua. And the last six commands are aimed at establishing and keeping relationships with each other. The whole rest of Scripture is filled with specific examples of how to put together our lives in a way that pleases Yahweh and establishes us as a subject of the kingdom. Hallelujah.